Hi, welcome back to the channel. This video is another update on the situation with regards to the Russian invasion of Ukraine. And in today's video, I want to talk about food. Now, food prices have been big news for the last 12 months or so. We have seen massive increases in the cost of food, and that has driven inflation in a lot of countries around the world. The high rates of inflation that we're seeing right now are predominantly driven by energy and food costs. So food is causing a lot of concern right now, and particularly so in the developing nations of the world, because proportionately, developing nations spend more of their household budget on food than the developed world, because we've got more disposable income. And both Russia and Ukraine are important to the global food supplies, because they're big producers of wheat and sunflower oil and corn, and also fertilizer, which is used to help enhance crops and develop more yield. So in today's video, I'll have a look at what's been happening with food prices prior to this conflict. We'll then have a look at what's going on with wheat, because wheat is one of the most important ingredients in the production of food globally. We'll then talk about sunflower oil and palm oil. We'll have a look at which countries have introduced food export bans recently. I'll then talk about what's going on with fertilizer, and then I'll have a look at what's happened in the past in some of the developing world when we've had food insecurity. And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my summary as to what I think is likely to happen over the next 3 to 6 months with regards to the global food supply and prices and everything else around that topic. And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my summary as to what I think is likely to happen to food prices and inflation over the next 3 to 6 months and what impact that is going to have on the global economy. So before we get started on all of that, if you could give me a thumbs up at some point during this video, I'd really appreciate it. And please subscribe if you haven't done so already. And don't forget that I include chapters in all my videos. So if there's a section that you're not particularly interested in, it's really easy to skip over it and move on to the next. The United Nations has a food and agriculture organization which tracks the price of food all across the world. It bases its analysis on a basket of goods and tracks how the prices are moving over time. This table shows the movements in the global food price index since 2004. If you're not familiar with the way indexes work, the whole concept is basing your prices on a starting point, and that starting point is usually 100. So you then measure how prices move against that original base. So for example, if prices go up by 1%, you would show an index of 101. And if prices went down 1%, you'd show an index of 99, all against the original 100 index. Now this table is split into 5 constituent components of food, and they are sugar, vegetable oils, cereals, dairy, and meat. And then the food price index on the far left of this table is the aggregate position. So that's looking at the consolidated position of all 5 of those different parts. So if we look in 2004, the food price index was 65.6. So that means that that price was 34.4 points lower than the original base price. And I don't know when this index was started, but it was obviously sometime prior to 2004. And if we then look at what has happened to food prices, we can see that there was a steady increase in 2005 and 2006. And then when the global financial crisis kicked in 2007-2008, there was a big jump in food prices. So we went from an index of 65.6 in 2004 to 117.5 in 2008. And you can see that prices came down briefly in 2009, but then rose back above 100 for 2010 through to 2014. The index dropped below 100 between 2015 and 2020. And then in 2021, we saw a sharp rise in the food price index to 125.7. And that was the period when the world came out of lockdown and everybody wanted to get back to normal. But we have had a lot of supply problems. So the problems with the lockdowns is that a lot of things stopped and it's taken time for production to get back towards maximum capacity. So we've had a big increase in demand and a smaller increase in supply, and that has driven food prices up significantly. So if we jump down to the bottom section of this table, You can see we've got monthly figures which show how the index has moved between February 2021 and February 2022, which is shown at the bottom of the table. So I wanted to highlight the movement in the prices of each of the five constituent parts. So the sugar price index has increased from 100.2 to 110.6, which is an increase of 10.4%. Vegetable oil has increased 36.7%. Cereals are up 14.8%. Dairy is up 24.8%. And meat is up 15.3%. And the total food price index has increased from 116.6% in February 21 to 140.7% in February 22, which represents an increase of just under 21%. So when you think about 21% in the context of inflation, in a lot of the developed world, we've got a target of 2% inflation for the whole economy. So if food has increased by 21%, it is extremely difficult to keep your overall inflation down to 2%, because food makes up a big part of the basket of goods that are included in the measure of inflation. So you can see why price pressure from food has driven up the overall level of inflation in many countries around the world. And one of the big problems for the developing and emerging economies is that food represents a much larger percentage of their household budget. So if you've got a global increase of 21% in food prices, that means that the level of inflation in those countries is certainly going to be in double digits and is likely to be somewhere around that 20% figure. And I don't want to get into it in any detail in this video, but obviously the increases in energy prices that we've also seen are also pushing up that inflation figure. So you can see why there is incredibly high levels of inflation all across the world right now. Wheat is a vital part of the international food chain. And the reason that it's so important is that wheat is ground down to make flour. And flour is the basic ingredient that is used to create bread, noodles, pasta, biscuits, cereals. There is a long list of things that you can make with flour. So it's really important. And why it's important in terms of this video is that Ukraine and Russia provide 29% of the global exports of wheat. Ukraine makes up about 10% of that figure, and Russia is about 19%. And the conflict that's going on right now in Ukraine is going to impact on that global market. Ukraine have already announced that they banned wheat exports for 2022, amongst other things. And the situation with regards to Russia is unknown. We don't know whether there'll be any impact, but it's likely that the supply will certainly be disrupted, and some countries may decide that they don't want to buy that grain from Russia. So there's a lot of uncertainty as to what's going to happen. But I wanted to go through it in some detail here because it has really big implications for the global economy. The price of wheat is measured in bushels. Now, this is an old-fashioned term, but it's still used in today's markets. And a bushel of wheat equates to roughly 42 pounds of flour, or 1 million kernels. And if you're looking at it in production terms, it's around about 45 boxes of a wheat cereal. Now, this chart shows the price of wheat over the last 20 years. And you can see on the far right-hand side of this graph, we have got a vertical increase. So the price of a bushel of wheat has gone from round about $8 per bushel at the start of the Ukraine conflict and is now trading above $14 per bushel. So that represents an increase of around about 80% in the last couple of weeks. And the reason that it's gone up so high is because the markets are anticipating that this year there will be shortages of wheat, and therefore the price has moved to a new level. So you can see that the only other time that we had a situation like this was back at the time of the global financial crisis, 2007-2008, when the price rose to around $13 per bushel. And you can see at that time that it took round about a year for the prices to get back towards a normalized level. But if you look at where the prices have been over the last 5 or 6 years, we've seen a range between $4 and $8. So it's been relatively steady, but we've seen that steady increase over the last 12 months or so. If you look at what's happened in 2021, it's moved from about $5 per bushel to about $8, which is a big percentage increase. And then obviously we've had this huge spike. So this is going to hurt the global economy. This will cause major problems. I'll come onto it later in the video, but in 2010, when we saw a marked increase in the price of wheat, there were riots in a variety of countries across the world. One of the other main concerns with regards to wheat is that China, who are the world's largest producer of wheat, have stated that they believe that this year will be the worst crop in history. China experienced heavy rainfall during 2021, which delayed the planting of around about a third of its wheat crops. And it's suffering from the impact of that now. And if there is a reduced amount of wheat that's produced in China, then that would potentially mean that China would need to import more wheat. And of course, that will drive up the prices even further. Ukraine and Russia provide around 80% of the sunflower oil exports globally. And Ukraine is a really important part of this equation. They make up about 46% of the global exports, with Russia making up the balance. Ukraine have recently introduced an export ban on all of its food goods, so those exports are unlikely to take place this year. But we're also seeing major problems right now with regards to the existing orders that Ukraine and Russia have taken. Because of what's happening in the military conflict, it's delaying the transport of a lot of goods and materials through the Black Sea because of Russia's aggression, and they're taking the coastline across Ukraine. Ukraine can no longer access its ports, so therefore it can't load all of its goods onto ships. So it's been reported that 380,000 tons of sunflower oil that's been ordered by India, that's due to be imported, are stuck either at the ports or with the producers and haven't been sent to the destination. Now, these orders are worth $570 million at the previous prices, but will be worth more now because prices of sunflower oil are starting to rise dramatically. As a result of this, Indian buyers are now replacing sunflower oil with alternatives, and they are predominantly soy oil or palm oil. And of course, the knock-on impact of that will be price increases for those products as well. So if we have a look at this chart, it shows the movement in price of sunflower oil over the last 20 years. And you can see that since we've come out of the pandemic, the price of sunflower oil has jumped dramatically. Now, this graph does not include the impact of the Ukraine crisis. This was taking us up towards the end of February. But what we're seeing now is the world is suddenly realizing that Ukraine, who's the world's largest producer of sunflower oil, will not be able to fulfill its orders. So this graph is going to go vertical. And we're going to see shortages of sunflower oil. And sunflower oil is used across the board. So it's used in cooking, but it's also used as an ingredient. So the lack of supply will mean that everybody then has to source other forms of vegetable oil, and it will just drive up prices even further. And one of the big concerns here globally is that the developing and emerging nations will be priced out of the market, that the developed world will be able to afford the price increases so they can pay an extra 10, 20, 50, 100% if they have to. But if you're in a developing nation, you won't be able to do that. Palm oil is the most widely used vegetable oil in the world, and it is used in the manufacture of a lot of different food types. So it's included in biscuits and chocolate and margarine, and it's also included in some laundry products. And as we see a reduction in the global supply of sunflower oil, the world will look for alternatives, and palm oil is the next best alternative. And we've got a problem with the supply of palm oil also. Indonesia is the biggest producer of palm oil globally. It provides 57% of the total supply to the world. And Indonesia has just announced an export ban on palm oil. So it wants to make sure that it's got enough supplies in the country, and it wants to make sure that the price of palm oil within Indonesia is affordable for its people. So the government has just advised that all companies that export palm oil have to now divert 30% of those planned exports back into the home market for the next 6 months. And as you would expect, the double whammy impact of the Ukraine crisis causing shortages of sunflower oil and Indonesia announcing that it's restricting its exports have led to a jump in the price of palm oil. So you can see that at the start of 2022, palm oil was trading for around about $4,500 and it is now above $7,000. So that represents an increase of more than 50% over the last couple of months. And it's likely that those prices will continue rising because it's not easy to fix supply problems in the food chain because it takes time to grow the plants and to harvest everything and then to have the finished product shipped around the world. So this isn't something that'll be fixed within the next 2 to 3 months. This is likely to last throughout the whole of 2022. Following on from the palm oil export ban in Indonesia, a number of other countries have now announced that they will restrict the export of food goods. Ukraine have banned exports of grains, sugar, salt and meat. Serbia have banned exports of wheat, corn, flour and cooking oil. And similar bans have been introduced by Hungary and Bulgaria. Now, as we move forward through the year, it's likely that more countries will introduce similar bans. And the main driver for doing this is that they want to make sure that they've got sufficient supplies in their country and that the prices are monitored and kept at an affordable level for most of the people. So we have a situation like this where export markets are starting to be affected. It will drive up prices even further because supply will be restricted and therefore the limited supply that is traded across the world will be going for a much higher price. So this is a very worrying trend because we're moving away from the global integrated economy where everybody imports and exports a variety of goods and we're getting towards more of a nationalistic approach at the moment because food is so vital. And this war is really starting to have that impact on people. Countries are looking at what they produce and deciding whether or not they want to export it or whether they would like to keep those goods within their own country. Now, the implications of the increases in prices are really quite concerning. If we look at this chart, it shows the percentage of consumer expenditure spent on food consumed at home. So this excludes eating out and at restaurants. This is basic food that you would buy, store in your fridge, and eat with your family. And you can see that the developed world spends less than 10% of its consumer expenditure on food. And the USA is top of the chart, spending 6.4%. So what that is showing us is that there is a lot of disposable income in the USA and these other countries on the chart. So people can afford an increase in prices. So if the price of food rises by 10, 15, 20%, in relative terms, it won't have that big an impact. Even if we saw a 20% increase, on the basis of this 6.4% in the USA, that would only equate to around about 1.5% increase. So the percentage spent on food would increase to something like 8%, which is still affordable for most families. When you look at the other end of the spectrum, you can see the problem. So in a lot of these developing countries, people are spending over 40% of their total consumer expenditure on food, on basic items. So a 20% increase for these countries is really quite a problem because there is very little disposable income. People don't have any more money. And therefore, if they're having to spend more on food, it means that they're having to make choices and not spend it on something else that might be vital to them also. So this is why the current situation is so concerning and why the World Bank and the IMF have said that they believe that there is going to be a global food crisis in 2022. And the other thing to note with regards to this chart is that things like wheat and flour are very important to some of these nations. And now that we're seeing huge increases in the price of wheat, it's going to be disproportionately disadvantageous to these countries because that's what they're relying upon for the majority of their meals. And if we look back in history, there has been a lot of civil unrest caused by food insecurity. In 2010, the increase in food prices caused riots and uprising to start in Tunisia, and they spread to Libya, Egypt, Yemen, Syria, and Bahrain. And similarly, in 2007-2008, there were riots in more than 40 countries due to food price increases. So there's a very real possibility that as we see food prices increase dramatically during 2022, it could cause civil unrest and rioting and more conflict. Fertilizer is a vital ingredient in terms of food production. It's used to add nutrients to soil and helps improve the yield of a crop. And Russia is one of the biggest suppliers of fertilizer globally. In 2021, it provided around about 13% of all the global supplies of fertilizer. But in Europe, it provided about 25%. And there are two main issues of concern here. The first is that natural gas is a key ingredient in the production of fertilizer. And what we've seen over the last few weeks is that the price of natural gas has started to increase dramatically. And that will feed directly into fertilizer prices. The other area of concern is obviously whether or not people will still want to deal with Russia and take Russian fertilizer. If there is a ban introduced or countries decide to not buy Russian-based fertilizer, then that will drive up the price of fertilizer from all the other countries around the world. So the combination of those two factors mean that the price of fertilizer is rising dramatically. And the problem we've got here is that the developed world can cope with those increases in prices, but the developing and emerging economies cannot. So if they can't afford to buy that fertilizer, that would then mean that they would have reduced crops, reduced yield, because there'd be less nutrients in the soil. They wouldn't be able to feed and grow the crops as efficiently. And therefore, they will produce less food and there will be food shortages, which will drive up prices further. So we've got a vicious circle going on, which has already started. It's been accentuated by this war. And the problems with fertilizer and the prices will only make matters worse. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, prior to the Russian invasion of Ukraine, we already had a food crisis that was starting to build up. We've seen the price of food rise dramatically through the whole of 2021. As demand came back online and everybody wanted to get back to normal, we found that there were shortages in supply, and that always leads to increased prices. And what's happening right now in Ukraine has made everything much worse. So we've got a direct supply problem because Ukraine and Russia are big suppliers of wheat and corn and sunflower oil. So we're going to see disruption to those supplies. Ukraine have already announced that they're limiting their exports, so we won't see anything coming out from Ukraine. But even if they wanted to carry on with their exports, it's currently being disrupted because they don't control their coastline. So they can't actually get access to the ports to load up all of the goods to export them. So there would be a problem even if Ukraine had decided to carry on exporting. The problem we've got with Russia is that there's a philosophical debate about whether or not you want to take supplies from Russia. And also there may well be delays in the distribution of all of their foodstuffs. But we've got bigger problems going on globally. We've got issues with regards to the China wheat crops. We've got problems with regards to countries now deciding they don't want to export some of their foodstuffs. So all of this is pointing very firmly to a global food crisis in 2022. And that will have a disproportionate impact on the emerging and developing world. They are going to suffer the most because they spend more of their budgets on food and they don't have any alternatives to turn to. In the developed world, we've got some other options and we've got a lot of money. So we can afford an increase in the cost of food. It's not great and you might have to downgrade and eat something slightly different, but you would still survive. In a lot of the developing world, there is a problem with regards to famine. So we could see civil unrest. We could see some governments being overthrown. There's a lot of permutations. But the bottom line here is that prices are going up. That means inflation is likely to carry on going up even further. So we've talked about inflation a lot on the channel. It is a major concern for a lot of countries right now. And the fix for it was going to be increased interest rates. Every government around the world was considering increasing interest rates, which would then calm spending and bring prices back down. The problem with that concept is that it doesn't work if you've got a global shortage of food. The reason that the prices are high is because there's not enough of it around. Demand is higher than supply, therefore price goes up. Increasing interest rates will not reduce the demand for food. People need to eat food. It's the number one basic essential in life. So your main priority is to get food. Once you've got food, you can then do all the other things that you want to do. So increasing interest rates won't change the demand for food. It won't bring the price of food down. And equally, it's not going to bring down the price of energy because we've got a shortage of energy. We've got problems with regards to whether people want to buy oil from Russia or not. So those two factors are going to mean higher prices for food and energy for the whole of 2022. That's going to drive inflation up higher. That's going to put even more pressure on the global economy. And I think it looks like we're getting to a situation where there's no easy fix for this. There's no way of solving this problem, especially while the conflict in Ukraine continues. So unfortunately, I think the bottom line is that we're going to see more and more pressure put on the global economy. And at some point, it will hit breaking point. And it's very possible that in 2022, we could see a recession, and it could be a major recession. It could be equivalent to what we saw in 2008 when we had the global financial crisis. Anyway, I'll keep you posted on any further news, developments and interesting stories that I come across. Hopefully you've enjoyed the content in this video today. Maybe not the actual detail, but the structure and the way that I've presented it. If you did like what I've said, then please give me a thumbs up. And don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already. And if you have time and the inclination, have a look at the link below for my Patreon page, because I'm trying to create more content and it would be really helpful if I could get some more supporters.